Sound of Hockey episode 280. We're calling this one the Carson Soucy episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, while playing for the Seattle Kraken, Carson Soucy wore the number 28 times 10. That's 280.
Or extended.
Why is he laughing at this?
Are we mailing it in? Is that a mail in right there?
It's a mail in laugh. This early?
It is a mailbag week for our Patreon subscribers.
That's right.
So
that's right.
In a sense, they're mailing it in, if you think about it.
That's true. We might as well do it too.
But we appreciate them. That's
yes,
for sure.
We do.
So we're going to record that right after this episode of The Sound of Hockey. I'm Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle on the X as well.
And Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deep Sea Hockey, also on the X.
And we are coming to you from Seattle, Bar Down Studios, to be specific. Do be sure to follow us at @sound_hockey also for all of your latest Seattle Kraken news. And you can make sure to follow us at other social channels such as TikTok and Instagram. And where else? And join Patreon.
Yep. Or just follow Darren around on the street and ask him questions about the Seattle Kraken.
Soundofhockey.com.
Certainly don't do that. Yeah, check out soundofhockey.com. We write new things
Lots of stuff up there frequently.
Yeah. Almost daily, we have a new article up there.
Yeah.
Not every day, but most days.
Yeah.
And I think we've probably been a little less motivated over the last few weeks.
But ironically, I think we've got a lot of content
A lot of non-NHL content on there right now, actually. Yeah. Some WHL stuff, some stuff about the CHL-NCAA agreement.
That's right. Yeah.
Or potential agreement.
But also some good content about the NHL, including a rather scathing article about messages being sent to the Kraken. And a lot of people had things to say about that one, which I thought was interesting. So
a lot of comments.
A new review from Daniken Cliffwalker. It says, a fun and inclusive fan-level hockey podcast. 5 stars. It says, when a new episode of the Sound of Hockey podcast drops, it immediately goes to the top of my queue. The hosts are informed and impassioned, but never allow the podcast to lose its easygoing nature, which is much needed when listening to the show during my workday. As an out-of-town Kraken fan, the show keeps me connected to the Kraken and a city I love to visit through honest takes on the team, humor, and positivity. I'm very thankful to have found the Sound of Hockey podcast. That's from Dan in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
So, thank you, Daniken Cliffwalker, for that great 5-star review. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on next week's show. It has been an interesting week, hasn't it? There's been, like, mostly for the people in this room, we traveled for Kraken hockey, and in two of our cases, Coachella Valley hockey. One of us rode the Zamboni. The Kraken have had some tumult.
Yes.
And what else has happened?
But we ended on a good note. Right, as far as the Kraken goes,
we did
right. So, I feel good about recording this week.
Yeah, I mean,
even though they lost 3 out of 4 games, so
in a pretty good mood. Oh, I did another color commentary round. That was fun.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's been a big week. It's been a really, really big week. So, let's start. Oh, you have a shout out. Do you want to give your shout out before we really?
So, first shout out goes to Matt, a listener, donated his tickets to give to a Patreon member.
Oh.
And Michelle was the one that won it. She went to the Montreal game, and that was not a great game to go to.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I'll tell you what, her and her companion stayed to the very end. I was very impressed. Hopefully she didn't feel obligated because I was sitting right there, but she seemed to have a good time. She was great, and she supports us on the Patreon and had some really positive things to say. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, nice. Very cool.
You have another shout-out? You said you had multiple.
Matt and Michelle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Separate,
yeah.
But related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darren Moody shouted at me on the Zamboni also.
I haven't seen Darren since preseason or training camp.
Darren was in Coachella Valley.
Let's do first. Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we did see a lot of people.
I know.
On the road.
Yeah, John O. We saw John O. We saw.
I saw Zamboni Tony in both spots.
Yep.
I saw.
Good old
Jackson.
Good old Zamboni Tony. Yeah.
It's not his actual name.
Okay.
For the listeners.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway.
Lots of people.
Should we do a little trip reports first here?
Oh, and I saw Kyle the goalie. Uh-huh. Or no, sorry, not Kyle the goalie. Kyle the learn to play guy.
Okay.
That I ran into 2 weeks earlier. I saw him in Vegas, of all places.
Wow.
So, very cool.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so the trip itself was great. You, John, and Curtis both went to Vegas and Arizona. I met you guys in Arizona. Curtis and I did Arizona and Coachella Valley, and John flew back. So you did the two NHL games, John.
That's right.
I did the second NHL game because I didn't really want to do Vegas again. The second NHL game and Coachella Valley. And Curtis did 3 and 3 nights with travel between each of the three.
A 3 and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and the
that's
drive.
Dreaded.
The yep. drive from Tempe to Palm Springs as well.
Right. And yeah. with an Avis car, which...
Ooh. 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 That... Could be a shame as far as I'm concerned.
I would consider shaming Curtis over this, but I have to accept some of the shame also. So the funny bit of it is we all were flying separately, obviously, because you guys were flying from Vegas. I was flying from Seattle. We landed in Phoenix about the same time. Curtis had really planned everything. He booked the hotel for us. He booked a rental car, which we needed the rental car to get from Tempe to Coachella Valley. I travel a fair amount, have a background in travel, and I really should have reviewed the itinerary because if I had seen that he had booked a rental car through Avis, I would have put the kibosh on that because I personally have always had a really bad experience when I've booked travel or booked cars through Avis. So sure enough, we get to the rental car center at Phoenix, which is just a complete-ish show anyway. But the Avis line is like 2 hours long to pick up our car. And the funny thing about it is that I landed maybe 20 minutes before you guys. And I was like, oh, the airport in Tempe or the hotel is really close. So I was just going to take an Uber and meet you guys at the hotel. And I was like, I'll just wait. It's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. And then joke's on me. I could have been long gone from the airport by the time you guys got that car. And then it would have been no skin off my back. But
and we're almost committed to Curtis on the ride, right? Even though like we could have all just going like, Curtis, you can wait in line.
Yeah, you wait in line. Well, ironically, then I somehow ended, I wanted to be a good sport and a good team player. So I did the vast majority, I'd say, of the line waiting while John sat.
Yeah.
And
well, Curtis was in another line, actually.
Yeah, so a separate line trying to beat me, which didn't work.
No, it didn't.
That was like the VIP line. The VIP line was just as long as the regular line, and I had made more progress. So it was
and I was still seated.
Yeah.
So,
the moral of the story, book Enterprise National or in a pinch Hertz. So,
no free ads. Bleep that out.
But don't.
I don't think
that's a
I don't think we're going to get
ad.
Avis. We're
that's not an ad.
We're
that's
not
a gonna PSA.
Get, we're not going to get Avis.
We're not getting Avis as a sponsor. Yeah. Was a lovely car though, and the drive was nice and easy.
We had a great time on the
we
drive.
We had a great time.
Some the really good laughs, John. Yeah. You missed out. There were some good chuckles on that laugh. On that drive, I mean.
There were indeed.
Chuckles, like on, the, good, chuckles like... on the laugh, too, if you know what I mean. I don't think you do. Anyway, the trip was great, though, all things aside with the rental car debacle. But there was a couple funny things I wanted to point out. First off, arena comparison, Mullet and Acrisure Arena. What do you got, Curtis?
I was blown away by Acrisure.
Yeah,
the experience there was just phenomenal.
Same. It was so cool.
It's, you know, the... takes full advantage of the weather in Palm Springs. And, you know, the part of the concourse is outside, which is just delightful to be able to go in and out during a hockey game. And the in-arena experience is just great. I think the arena itself is just kind of a cut above Mullet.
Fully agree.
It's a little, you know, Mullet has the advantage of being in Tempe on ASU's campus. You know, you can walk to more stuff from Mullet. So Mullet there's a lot of things to recommend going to Mullet. I would recommend that people do that trip as well. But if you haven't made it down to see the Firebirds, it's just a great experience.
Yeah. I think put both of them on your travel list, but I would put the Coachella experience above the Mullet experience. I would agree with you. Very different though, to your point. And yeah, that thing about the inside outside is so cool. Like you walk in, you scan your ticket, and you're technically within the arena, like you're in at that point, but you're physically outside, and you can buy your beers and your food and everything outside, and then you can go in and out as much as you want.
Is there a way to totally seal up the arena? You said, you're outside.
Yeah, so
is
like,
there
the,
like a
you go in through actual doors,
yeah.
Right? But like you're inside the gates at least,
right.
But you're physically outside.
Wow.
If that makes sense. So it's really cool. I've never seen that before.
If it happened to be a monsoon or something like that, they could close it up. You could still go all the way around the arena inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was fantastic.
Jealous.
Really cool experience.
Well, the playoffs are coming up. Maybe we'll circle back to that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of tempted to make another trip. We'll see. Put a pin in that.
Couple other funny things. Well, and but mullet though, right? Like, probably do that while it lasts too, because that is a truly unique thing. None of us had ever done this before. I'm sure a lot of our listeners had been there already, but like, it was so cool because you're just like the smallest arena you can imagine, and you're watching NHL hockey. It kind of reminded me of watching those preseason games in the junior arenas, but like, nicer. I don't know if I should say that out loud, but like, you know, it's a newer, it's more modern, shinier arena.
Yeah.
So yeah, that also was an awesome experience, and right in the middle of the ASU campus, which is stunning.
Quite a few Kraken fans.
Yeah.
There was a couple "Let's go Kraken" chants in Arizona.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say, we need to get in front of this now.
Okay. This sounds like it's going to be important.
It is important, and we've talked about it before. Anthem.
Oh.
For one, Vegas. They absolutely scream night.
They're loud. They were louder than the Kraken fans in Seattle a couple weeks ago.
It was insane in Vegas.
Because they're on the same page. Everybody's on the same page.
It was insane in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, red glare out. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'm serious.
Yeah, okay.
It sounded really bad in Arizona, but the C came out pretty decently.
Okay.
Red glare, it's just not, it doesn't flow.
The problem is people aren't going to stop saying it because they still change the lights when we get to that part.
Ignore it. Ignore it.
I've said it before. I truly don't care.
I'm telling you right now, I'm picking the lane. The fans picked the lane.
Right.
It's C.
The team, the players themselves wanted that too last year.
Doesn't matter. Fans,
no, they're on the same page though.
C. It's got to be C.
We're a pro C.
Next
podcast,
one, man. Go ballistic with C. Everybody.
All right. I'm just going to yell fight just to.
Oh, man. You're not making this any easier.
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. I've said it many times. Okay. I don't actually care. That is a good segue, though, into we had a moment in that Arizona game, John, where you decided you were not going to watch games with me anymore. It was akin to the San Jose game a couple years ago when you kicked me out of your house. So we'd been talking before the game about how Brandon Tanev had a really good odd man rush scoring opportunity in almost every game of the last, like, call it 20 games, and he never scores. And that night he had one of the more egregious ones where he was on a 2-on-1. I don't remember who he was with.
Gord.
Okay. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know if his pass got broken up or what.
He sent it into the corner.
He dumped it. It was like a dump and chase, and he was on a clear cut 2-on-1. John and I were seated actually across an aisle from each other, and I looked over at John, and I just started laughing hysterically because it was the most egregious of the flubs that Brandon Tanev has had on one of these rushes. And John, the reason that I laughed mostly is because you looked back at me and had this look on your face like, wee, like that wasn't too good, was it? And that made me laugh really hard. And basically it was like, considering how tight the game was, I was just having too much fun at this game, and you were mad at me for that.
I don't think I was that bent out of shape about it.
Okay.
But I just wanted to like give you the example of why I can't watch games with you anymore.
I did laugh pretty hard at it.
Well, and it was funny because I think, was there Arizona guys behind us?
Yeah.
And they just started laughing at what I wasn't sure if they were laughing at what I said or just us in general, but because I'm like yelling across the aisle, like, that's why I don't watch games with you. And so the Arizona fans are like, what?
You couldn't just say it to me because we were across an aisle. Yeah, yeah. So you were screaming it.
It was humorous. And then I think he even followed it up with a breakaway that like right into somebody's pads or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
The other thing that was kind of funny in this part of the trip, we had, so there's like the bird scooters, right? But because there's the ASU campus, everything is geofenced. So you like can't ride them onto the campus. So there's two different brands. There's the bird scooter and the lime scooter. We met up with super fan Paul Buxton, and Paul Buxton's like, oh, we can take the scooters to the game from.
And he knew where he had been there before.
He'd done it. He's like, here's the trick though. Okay. You got to stay within the map. You can't go onto campus with the scooters or they'll just shut off. So make sure you guys follow me. I know the route. You know what? I don't have a bird account. I'm going to go get a lime scooter. So he gets a lime scooter. The three of us, John, me, and your friend Jordan,
yep,
who's been mentioned on this podcast before, long ago.
Okay, yep. Fair enough.
We go for the bird scooters. There's a different map for the two companies. So we're cruising along, and all three of ours shut off at the same time, and we're trying to, like, manually pump them with
our
feet.
Just get through this block, and maybe it'll be fine.
But But the problem is you can't even park them if you're in one of those like geofenced areas. So we're pushing these damn things and they weigh like six. They're heavy, right?
And it's warm. Not hot, but warm.
Yep. So we're all getting kind of, and we're wearing layers because we're heading to an NHL arena. We're in jerseys. And so it was just, it was pretty funny. And Paul just cruises off.
Yeah, just like, see you boys.
Yep, I'll see you at the arena. Yeah. This one's working fine. So we still ended up parking like a half mile away and then walking. It was pretty funny. So
it was absolute lore.
So moral of that story is stick with Lime scooters in Tempe. Right.
Or don't follow Paul.
Right. Okay, that's probably a better moral. The other interesting thing that happened this week, and I mentioned it earlier, but we had a very special walk and talk, except this was not a walk and talk. This was, the one in Tempe was special too. With
that's right. John and we all were in there. Yeah,
Curtis didn't make it in.
I was proximate, but
he was near
by proxy.
That one we had some good chuckles in that one because it was post game and the Kraken had just lost, but we were still having a good time.
Yeah,
a little too good of a time it seemed. So then this other video that went up on Twitter and on TikTok. I don't know if did it make it on Instagram. No, okay. But a certain somebody had an in-game Zambonian talk at the Anaheim game, and it was pretty great.
It was pretty awesome, gotta say.
It was fun. Yeah. It was really fun. I was oddly very nervous, and I'm not sure why, but I felt kind of silly doing it, but I knew it was going to be funny, and I didn't really tell many people that I was doing it, and so I just kind of randomly appeared on the Zamboni at the first intermission. So
I did a last minute flare to the Discord and said, hey, all eyes on the Zamboni.
Okay.
During the first intermission. That's all I said.
Yeah.
So just to try to keep people in their seats.
It was a smooth ride. My driver was Doug, who was actually, it was his first NHL game at the
amazing
wheel of a Zamboni. He did
amazing.
A great job.
Yeah.
Looked like he'd been doing it forever. So, which I think he has, but just not at an NHL game.
It was so good. It was so good, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
I was so fired up for you.
I was riding dirty.
I sent it to your wife, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She told me. Yeah.
Did you feed material to Chet about how to introduce you?
I did. Okay. Yeah. The introduction I went with was, he enjoys looking at pictures of goalie gear and he has an ongoing feud with crows. Everybody say hi, Darren.
So good.
As you're talking into your phone, like people are like, what's this douchebag doing? Oh, that was good. It was awesome.
That was fun. I'm glad that we were able to pull that off. And huge thanks to Game Ops Shabs. She connected me. I was going to actually do this several weeks ago, but it was Kids Day and I kind of chickened out because I didn't want people to think that I was like stealing a spot from a kid, you know?
Yeah. Oh, like the guy who knocks the kid over for the home run ball or something?
Yeah, and then I come out in my suit and I'm filming myself like a total jerk, you know, which I still looked like that last night, but
I think it was good. I mean, people that know, and like the comments on Twitter
were awesome.
Yeah,
they were so funny.
Thanks to the community for
leaning into it, engaging.
Right? Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You know, I was asked, how am I going to top this? I truly don't think I have anything more clever up my sleeve than that. So,
we'll think of something.
Okay.
I got some ideas.
Might need some workshop ideas.
Summer activity.
Now, mind you, they have to be like feasible, right? Somebody's like, oh, you should go on the roof of Climate Pledge. I'm like, no. Like, that's not, I don't want anything that's going to get me arrested, right? Like, we need some feasible options.
Legal, we could legally do it.
Right.
Let's
So the law is the only limitation here.
No, I mean, and I need to also not like get kicked out of the arena or something stupid.
Do things above board. We'll be fine.
Exactly.
I got some ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a good one for if I ever go to Calgary, a catwalk and talk.
Oh.
Right? Because you have to go across that catwalk. I've never been to Calgary.
That's a must.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, the games this week. All right. 20 minutes in. The games. So, I mean, we talked a little about Arizona and Vegas already and kind of the experience around those games, but the games themselves were quite tight. Disappointing, very disappointing in both cases. The one that I went to, Arizona, would have been a great story because Riker Evans scored his first goal, which made it 1-0. The Coyotes thought they had tied it, but the Kraken, I think, successfully... Oh, it got reviewed for a kick-in, right? And it got confirmed that it was kicked in. Kept it at 1-0. You thought they were going to win 1-0. Joey Decord was going to get a shutout at his alma mater, which would have been incredible. And instead, they give up the late tying goal, and then former Seattle Thunderbird Dylan Gunther wins it in overtime. So it was a little bit of a stinger. It was definitely one of those where I was like, you know what? I'm just here having fun. Like, I don't really care if they win or lose at this point in the season. And it was a good, entertaining game, so I was happy with that. But it would have been way more fun of a night if they had pulled off a win.
Oh, and
that
was a shutout. That was a Riker stinging. Evans. Like, that would have been awesome. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of just, someone laughed at it, right? Like, the season in a nutshell, right? Just,
yeah.
Just when you think you're feeling good.
No. They pull the rug.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was a back-to-back. I mean, the day before in Vegas was not quite the same story, but somewhat similar. The Kraken come back to tie in the third period and then give up the last-minute goal to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, Darren, you wrote it in the three takeaways for the Vegas game, but the story was really the same both nights. I mean, we came into this weekend thinking, oh, this will be a fun trip, a Sound of Hockey trip. You know, because the season was over. The playoff odds were effectively zero.
We did book
zero.
This like,
when we thought they were going to have a chance.
Yeah, like, oh, these might mean something. Yeah.
But we went into it more thinking, okay, this will be a, you know, we'll see some arenas and it'll be fun in that regard. But they both games just really found ways to like kind of rope you in, get your hope back up for that individual game, and then just disappoint you. And yeah, it's just the season in a microcosm. Even when they have no playoff chances, they were finding ways to disappoint us. They come home, Montreal, just, you know, story was different, but the same.
Real quick. Yeah. Vegas and Arizona, they played better. Like,
yes.
Like, much better. Like, they weren't scoring. That's been a challenge all season. But they were competing. Vegas.
Tight games.
Yeah.
And with Vegas, I mean, I actually liked their game. That was a classic, like, rope-a-dope kind of a game. Grubauer played great. They did the bend and don't break kind of a thing where they absorbed a lot of shots but kept most to the outside, got that opportunistic goal with 6 minutes left from Jaden Schwartz. And you're like, they're going to win this thing. They are absolutely going to win this thing. And then they found a way to break our spirits even more. Yeah,
but in that regard, it really has been kind of like the season. I mean, the team has, you know, been close, but just can't deliver in the end.
So Montreal, I actually did not watch this game. This is one of...
You didn't
I can count,
miss much.
Yeah, so I can count
oh, no, you
on
definitely missed some things.
Less than one hand. I can count on like maybe 3 to 4 fingers the number of Kraken games in their three-year history that I fully have not watched from end to end. This is one of those games. I was doing my color commentary thing with the Thunderbirds and Winterhawks that night, which again was very, very fun. And
it went to overtime.
It went to a shootout. Yep.
Oh, shootout. Yeah.
And I think it was like after the first period of the Thunderbirds game, I just like opened up the NHL app and just looked at the score and it was 4-0. And I was like, oh no, right? And then I went back and looked at it a little later and it said 4-2. And I'm like, oh, look at that. And then I looked at it again a couple minutes later, and it was 4-1. They had gone backwards. I was like, oh, no, this seems like a rough one. So I did at least watch the highlights, and yeah, it didn't seem like the most inspired game. But
yeah, I mean, I if you look, obviously the numbers are bad. They fell down 4-0 early. There's some commentary that, you know, their shot quality share was better in this game. Montreal is just not a good team, like at all. So once Montreal got up 4-0, I mean, that kind of shone through. I mean, pretty much every shot was a deflection past Grubauer in the first period. And the team, you know, even if the stats suggest they had good shot quality for the, you know, balance of the game, I didn't think they had much jump in that game. I didn't think they looked that great against Montreal. But.
Well, and then this was the game where Dave Hakstol made his most, how would you call this? Cutting remarks after the game. He really talked a lot about the pride of the team and how it means a lot to put on the jersey and players aren't playing with pride and things like that, which I think is the most he's ever directly called out his team ever. And then interestingly, I thought he kind of walked it back a little bit at practice the next day. His tone had changed quite a bit. Or maybe, was it the next day? Yeah, it was the next day. And they worked really hard at that practice, like one of the harder practices I've ever seen them do. I think he just got a little fed up and he wanted to send a message. And coincidentally that night, they also called up Logan Morrison and Ryan Winterton, who made, Winterton wasn't making his NHL debut, but Morrison was in the Anaheim game. So we should talk about that a little bit too. But it was interesting to hear Hakstol make those very pointed remarks that we've never heard him do that right? Every game, no matter how bad it is, he comes up with some positive. And even when Bob Condor tried to give him a sort of a cupcake, like, hey, you had the shot quality in this one. And he was like, no, we're not making that positive. We're not putting positives on this one. This was a bad game. We played bad. There was nothing good to take out of this.
I mean, Sunday night definitely felt like a low point.
Yeah.
I mean, in the entire season.
Yeah.
I can't think of another one quite that low. And yeah, it felt like the frustration finally got to Hextall, which, you know, it's got to be really frustrating, or the pressure is mounting on him for him to let it show. Cause he is, we've talked about it a lot. He's about as level-headed as you could possibly imagine someone being with the media. He is like you're saying, he tends to, you know, he won't compliment his team when he doesn't think the team deserves it. But his demeanor at these post-game press conferences is very level.
Unwavering, totally.
Unwavering, and this was not that.
I've often said if you didn't watch the game and you just listened to Hextall, you wouldn't know if they won or lost based on how he...
Except that night.
Except for that night. You knew they lost, and lost bad, so...
I mean, he does have a point, though, right? Interesting enough, I took a friend who's in from out of town to his first NHL game.
Yeah,
I actually took a friend to their first NHL game, the first season, that Avalanche game where they went down 7-0.
Yeah,
and then they started cheering at the end.
Yeah, then they scored a couple goals and it was fun.
Okay, I'm really glad you just mentioned that, because I wanted to talk about that a little bit with regard to the Anaheim game, because I went into that Anaheim game after that miserable game against Montreal, and it's a Tuesday night, right? Now, granted, it's bobblehead night, so I think more people probably show up for, well... A lot of people, I should say, show up for bobbleheads. They get excited about those. But the Kraken came out for like their pregame intros, and the pop from the crowd was just like opening night. I was just like blown away. And the crowd was good. They were into it, and they finally got something to cheer about that night against Anaheim. And even Hextall mentioned that after the game too. He was like, you know, we truly have the best fan base in the NHL here in year three. And he basically said, like, they deserve better than what we've been showing.
Yeah. And I love that he mentioned that.
Yeah, and that's been my thing here all along is, like, you know, even when they're just not talented enough, like was in the case in year one, they never quit. They never didn't try, and that's what's been really frustrating to watch is it felt like they weren't trying. So
yeah. I mean, I don't know
if that's really accurate, but that's how it looks.
I look at it as, for one, it's after the Vegas loss, the one at home where they lost in last second, 15 seconds left, that took all the wind out of sails, right? And I think it's pretty natural to kind of like have a little bit of a setback after that and just kind of not. And you look at it, if the margins for this team to win are so small because they're not the most talented team, but if a couple of the players are just even at 90%, it makes a huge impact, and that's maybe what I think we're seeing. I couldn't tell you which ones. I mean,
their effort level goes from 100 to 90 is what you mean by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just think it's kind of a natural. So I kind of give them a pass, but like it was getting – the bummer is like the Vegas and Arizona games, they had a chance to win or at least get a point and just salvage a little bit of respectability again, and then they lay the egg in Montreal against Montreal, and it's just – ooh. So anyway, I think – we'll see how it goes, but Anaheim was nice.
Now, Anaheim's bad. They're a really bad team. And watching that game, it reminded me of that San Jose game earlier in the year when they won like 7-0 or 7-1.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that game.
And like looking at him, I was like, how do they have this much time with the puck in the offensive zone? Like there's so much space. And that's how it looks against Anaheim.
Yeah. And
at least it did in this game.
Anaheim could just not control the Kraken's rush in the first period. It just seemed like every time you were looking up, the Kraken were 2-on-1, 3-on-1. You know, 1-on-1, something like that. That's just, they had space, like you were saying, in the offensive zone, but they weren't getting back to control the rush either. Anaheim just looked dreadful. So it's, you know, hopefully this is the type of game that the Kraken need just to get, you know, just to get themselves jump started again, just to, you know, feel the positivity of a win. Yeah. I feel like the fan base coming out of that, I feel like needed that, you know, just needed to feel what it was like to have a win again. I mean, it'd been 8 games.
I felt that way.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah. I needed it.
Same. I was like, you know, I was pretty getting to that point again, and we've had an 8 game losing streak already this season where I was like just kind of giving up, and I was like, whatever, they'll probably lose and who cares? It's fine, you know. But then they win and you're like, oh God, that's so much more fun. Like, that's just so much more fun to watch and experience and be in the building for. And yeah, it's good to see you.
It's fun to win.
Good to see you win.
Man, I felt great all day today.
Yeah, very few shots faced. I think it was 13 against
shutout.
Joey Decord. He got the shutout. He did have that one huge save where the puck went off the end wall and he robbed, I think, Lundestrom, if I'm not mistaken. Tolvanen and Beniers each had a goal and two assists, and they were playing with Oliver Bjorkstrand. So that's a relatively newly formed line, but some pretty good chemistry there. I thought both those goals, right? Beniers just knows exactly where Tolvanen is in the slot, hits him with it. Tolvanen makes no mistake. And then the return goal where Tolvanen gave the favor back was off of a 3-on-1 rush, a give and go. Bjorkstrand goes hard to the net. Beniers recognized that he's getting the puck right back after he makes the pass. Sure enough, he does, and he rips it. So those are two pretty good plays, and I thought they looked good throughout the game. So that's interesting to see.
That's what I've kind of missed on Beniers all year, that kind of shot, right? The one kind of the one-timer in stride on a rush. That I just think he was missing a lot. Anyway, it's one goal, but
totally, yeah. But he also, I think he had scored in the Canadiens game and it got waved off, right? And I think he had another one.
Oh, I think he's playing better now. Yeah. I'm just saying,
throughout the first part of the season,
it just seemed like I don't know if he was gun shy to even take that shot, to be honest. So,
but I'm curious about this line, right? Because effectively, what you're doing is you're taking that same very effective line usually very effective, although they'd gone quiet. But the Tolvanen, Gord, Bjorkstrand line, and now what you're doing is you're just swapping in Beniers for Gord. So I'm just curious to see if this has a little bit of chemistry building. So, and maybe not even so much for this year, but for the future.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
it's like more kind of testing things out for next season now.
Because, I mean, Beniers has been attached to the hip to Jordan Eberle,
for
his entire time here. So
we talked a little bit last week or the week before about, now that the Kraken are out of the playoffs, like what's kind of the fan to-do list? What are we watching for? And certainly Matty Beniers, like kind of finding some type of confidence and rhythm down the stretch here and going into an offseason. I think is important. Mm-hmm. And the other one, of course, is Ryker Evans. Now, unfortunately, he left the game in Arizona.
He's been skating, though. I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, it has been skating, but he was out. That led to the recall of Gustav Olofsson. Mm-hmm. He got in a game, which was great to see. But hopefully Ryker comes back soon and can build some type of forward momentum. I thought he'd been playing a little better since they put him back with Adam Larsson. That seemed to be working a little bit. But then he got injured, unfortunately.
I loved the shift where Justin Schultz was on the ice with Gustav Olofsson, Ty Cartier, Logan Morrison, and Ryan Winterton.
In front of Joey Decord.
Yeah.
It's the Coachella Valley Firebirds plus Justin Schultz.
The intern tweeted out the "How do you do, fellow kids?" GIF, which
Olofsson's a little older.
I know, but still, like he just came up.
The day before. Yeah.
I liked the performances though from those kids. I think in general, Logan Morrison got quite a bit of ice time, 14 plus minutes. They put him on the power play, and
they were trying to. Him in the press conference if he heard the fans or
he had scored. I just said, did you think you were going to get one? Because he had some pretty good looks and he thought he had scored for a kind of a brief second.
It seemed like the whole team was trying to isolate him so he could get that opportunity. And they're like, shoot it. Like once he got it and he had enough space,
Logan Morrison is an interesting story. Undrafted free agent, obviously, and he's only played in Coachella Valley for 1 year. He's a rookie, but he's playing first unit power play down there too. He's taken strides. His offensive skill is pretty evident. He's pretty creative.
Very similar to Cartier, right? Right. 1 year in the AHL and then get called up.
I think Morrison has more like center potential long term than Cartier does. Maybe they're not identical players, and I don't think you're saying they are. But similar kind of trajectory. Seems like
fascinating timing from the Sound of Hockey podcast to have Ryan Winterton on last week. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I saw him in the locker room. I was like, hey, long time no see.
Do you remember?
Oh yeah. We talked to him last week, of course.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know how many people these guys talk to. They're probably meeting like 40 people at 1 hour up here. Yeah.
Speaking of undrafted free agent signings by the Kraken, the Seattle Kraken have officially signed Leighton Rode from the Bemidji State University Beavers. to an entry-level contract. He comes from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I'm actually familiar with this family to some degree because his little brother played against my nephew this year for the White Bear Lake Bears, and his little brother's like a stud. I think he had like 34 goals in 31 games or something like that. So he's really good. I think it's just a good hockey family. Sounds like he's a skilled player and has some grit to him. I think Chris Peters said he's a really good skater and plays with a little bit of an edge. So I trust Chris Peters' analysis.
I wonder, speaking of Cartier and Morrison, you wonder if some college free agents or some undrafted CHL players might think a little bit more, about the Kraken, going to the Kraken, because they're getting opportunities. So, interesting timing with all of that, but we'll see. You know, like, I want to pump the brakes on free agents because I saw a lot of people talking very highly of him, and that's great, but it could be years away from making the team.
And he might not at all.
Right.
I mean, that's how a lot of these work out, but he could be a good AHL player. Yep. I mean, you never know. So,
A lot of these types of undrafted signings they might be truly about the AHL team, mm-hmm. like about building an AHL team for the next few years. And if he breaks through to the NHL, great, but that might not even be in their thought process.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't know if, I'm not sure if you mentioned it. Sorry if you did, but he will be
with the Firebirds. We did not mention that.
Okay, yep. So it'll be fun to kind of see how he does out there too.
And you know, it is a similar story too, in that he came to development camp. They kept tabs on him, and that was the story with Ty Cartier. Was that the story with Morrison too? Did he do development camp? I don't remember. But the same kind of thing though, certainly as Cartier, where they kind of kept tabs on him, liked what they saw, liked his development, and said, let's sign him. So cool stuff there. Congratulations to him. We also have a WHL update, which is kind of a robust one. The Everett Silvertips announced that I don't know if they were the first ones to announce it, but Dennis Williams, their head coach, is moving to the pride of Everett Fitzhugh and Evan Pivnik, Bowling Green State University. Bowling Green is not a state, for the record, but Bowling Green State University, he's going to be their head coach now. So he's leaving after the playoffs, so he is sticking around. It is probably somewhat unfortunate timing in terms of news for the Silvertips, because they're a good team. They're heading into the playoffs here as a 3 seed. They're going to be taking on Vancouver. But again, they're going to have their coach at least through the playoffs. So interesting stuff there. Also, on the topic of the Everett Silvertips, they won the prospect draft lottery today on Wednesday. So they're going to be the number one pick. There's apparently a stud defenseman named Landon DuPont, who I saw some highlights of. He was out there dominating a U18 tournament as like a 14-year-old or something. So he's apparently a very, very good player. So that'll be fun to...
Some question about whether he's going to go the CHL route or the NCAA
route.
We've talked about this in the past, about how that's kind of a hard choice that these guys face, because you lose your NCAA eligibility if you sign a contract and play in the CHL. So there's some question about that. But
he's got some time, though.
Yeah, got some time. Keeping our fingers crossed for the Everett fans out there.
Other WHL Kraken.
Draft him first, too. Let's be clear here.
That's true. They haven't actually picked him. Yeah. But... It would be cool. Okay. Assuming things go according to what people think is going to happen, if he gets picked by the Silvertips and he's a stud, like future superstar NHL player, it's going to be cool to have him right in our backyard. And
well, they're probably going to get a quality.
That's true. No matter who they get out of this, is going to be a great player.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
Other Kraken-related WHL news. The Portland Winterhawks will take on Victoria in the first round. This is all starting like in the next day or two. Tyson Jugnauth, of course, is on Portland. I've enjoyed watching him play the couple games that I've seen. Caden Hamill is on Everett. I mentioned they play Vancouver. And then Jagr Furkus and the Moose Jaw Warriors will be playing against the Brandon Wheat Kings. Both Everett and Moose Jaw are 3 seeds. Portland is a 2 seed. So Moose Jaw and Everett are in different conferences. That's why they're both 3 seeds, in case that wasn't clear.
Okay.
Down on the farm, Moo. There's other playoffs happening also. So throughout, obviously, the CHL. So we talked about the WHL, but in the QMJHL and the OHL, there's other Kraken prospects that will be playing with the Rouen Noranda Huskies. That's a tough one to say.
It is.
Andre Lashko, he was the fourth rounder from 2023. He'll be playing against the Gatineau Olympiques. In the OHL, you have Ty Nelson and the North Bay Battalion taking on the Kingston Frontenacs. And you have David Goyette of the Sudbury Wolves taking on the Mississauga Steelheads. Is that what they are?
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Do I need to keep reading? Should I keep reading all these?
Yeah, okay. Good pace.
I'll just keep it moving. Edward Schala and Carson Rakoff with the Kitchener Rangers. They're taking on the Erie Otters. And that's the OHL. I don't want to keep going with this. So, Curtis, will you take over the Liga and SHL?
Indeed. Our Finnish and Swedish leagues are also in their playoffs. They've already started. Jani Newman's team, Ilves, is down 3-1 to Kalpa. The next game is on Friday maybe. So they could be eliminated as soon as Friday, which is interesting just from the perspective of does Jani Newman at that point potentially come over and maybe play with the Firebirds?
Interesting indeed.
It's a possibility at least.
I wonder if he'll continue to wear that Red Bull helmet.
He should definitely keep the Red Bull helmet.
Well, he's wearing it with the Firebirds. In the playoffs.
If he plays for Coachella. Yeah.
That would look sick. Yeah. He did only play 9 minutes in this last game, though, when he's been averaging more like 18 or 20. So
that's
whether that was a coach's decision or he might have been nicked up. I'm not sure. Huh. Nicholas Coco is playing for Pelicans. Pelicans.
Whoa, there's no the.
No, the Pelicans are up 3-1 in their first round series. And Coco's started all four games, has I think it's either the second or third best save percentage in the playoffs. So he's playing pretty well right now. You recall he moved midseason to get playing time, and he's getting playing time and doing well with it. So that's cool to see. And then Oscar Fisker Mulgaard in the SHL. Playing for HV71. HV71 is actually in the relegation series. Kind of like fans might be familiar with international soccer as well. There are different tiers of leagues, and the worst two teams in the SHL play each other at the end of the season in a relegation series. The loser goes down a level.
Brutal.
So they drop out of the SHL.
Yeah.
And the winner at the level below them will come up. So it's a 7-game series, and it's tied 3-3. So it's a decisive game 7 to see whether you lose your status in the SHL, and that's on Friday.
One thing that's not on there, Zeb Forsfall is still playing.
Yep.
Got that one?
Yeah. Okay. I know Zeb Forsfall is in the playoffs as well.
And his team's up 3-0.
Up 3-0. Yep. Looks like he's going to move on. Continues just doing his thing, his like kind of fourth line depth role, but seems to be doing well.
And also no Kraken prospects in this, but the NCAA tournament is starting this week also. So lots of fun, exciting stuff happening within the hockey world, and not just with the Kraken, which maybe there's not really anything exciting happening with the Kraken. But
I'm still having fun. As long as they're winning, having fun.
And there's only 4 home games left.
I know.
Which is kind of crazy.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all my spare time.
That's literally how I feel. I actually don't know. What I'm going to do with all that time. But
good thing there's Stanley Cup playoffs coming around.
Yeah, so. Thank goodness. The top seeds are Boston College, Boston University, Denver, and Michigan State. My alma mater, the Wisconsin Badgers, are in it. All the like blue blood hockey schools are in it. Michigan, Minnesota, they're all in it. Michigan State's good this year. Oh, they're number one seed. I mentioned that already. But
And if your mind as a Kraken fan has turned to the draft, BC, BU, Denver, Michigan State all have pretty interesting players in that regard. Well, at least BU, Denver, and Michigan State.
And Maine's playing.
Maine's a 2 seed. So I'm hopeful.
There you go.
We'll see. Knock on wood.
Good luck.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, do they know that you went to Maine?
Yeah. You didn't go to Maine.
Oh, I did not go to Maine. Right. But I was a Maine fan since the Paul Kariya days.
Yeah, it's like how Everett pretends to be a Michigan fan, even though he didn't go to Michigan, and like how Allison pretends to be an Ohio State fan, even though she didn't go to Ohio State.
She's a Ohio State women's hockey fan.
Yeah, they beat Wisconsin. I wouldn't say there's a reason. There's a reason I just said it that way.
Yeah,
which is that the Ohio State Buckeyes just beat the Wisconsin Badgers in the national championship game. So
it was discussed extensively on the broadcast.
Was it?
Was that the Montreal game? That might have been the game you missed. So it might have been for the best.
Thankfully, she didn't do... I know usually when Ohio State and Minnesota Duluth play each other, her and JT Brown do some sort of bet. She didn't approach me with anything. So no bet was made on that one.
Do you know either Wisconsin or Ohio State have won the last 5 national titles?
I didn't know that stat, but that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like we're saying that every year.
Oh, did they win it last year? Oh, no. Wisconsin did.
Yeah.
But they won it the year before. Yeah. Ohio State won it the year before.
Anyway, congratulations, Allison. We have a Bad Boys. Tom Wilson, that good old repeat offender, although he's kept his nose clean for a little while.
Yeah.
Couple years now, but he gets a pretty good, healthy 6-game suspension for a brutal stick swing to the face of Noah Gregor. It was kind of brutal, right?
Yeah, it was one-handed. You're not putting a lot of force if you're doing... I mean, it's bad. It's bad. But some people were like, kick him out of the league.
Oh,
30 games. Whatever. I'm like, I would have guessed 5 or 6.
Right, and actually any other player, I think it would have been like 2.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, I was fine with it.
Okay.
And finally, our weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. The Washington Capitals, speaking of Tom Wilson, the Washington Capitals were considering a move to Alexandria, Virginia, but they quote-unquote struck a deal to stay in the D.C. city limits.
This one was, I followed this one pretty thoroughly mm-hmm. over the last month, because I think we did talk about it. It's the typical extort public municipalities for money kind of thing, and like, oh, we're going to move, and then all of a sudden, you know, D.C.'s like, oh, we got $500 million for you to upgrade, and even last week, I think, I don't know if you read it, Curtis, that it was ruled their lease, they can't get out of their lease for another, like, 25 years or 30 years, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The D.C. Attorney General sent a threatening letter, and, you know.
They're still getting $500 million.
No, it was all... All of this was a negotiation. Yeah. Like, even the attorney general part of it, I'm sure, was part of the negotiation.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys need to accept this deal. You're not getting a better one.
Yeah.
Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Josh Doan was called up to the Arizona Coyotes, and I guess his dad is a player or something, huh? Anyway, he scored twice in his debut, which is...
Ed Mullet.
Yeah.
And he also scored the first ever goal for ASU... at Mullet Arena.
Didn't catch that.
That was a cool story.
We talked about it on the pod mm-hmm. when it happened, I think. But like that was like 3 or 4 years ago.
He the second Sun Devil then?
I believe
to make
so.
It to the NHL?
I believe so.
I
it's not as easy to kind of determine that, but from what I researched, that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Several have been drafted.
Yeah.
And are probably playing pro somewhere. But
right. Well, great. Our next weekly one-timer. We already mentioned Ohio State winning the championship. We can skip
Who'd
over
they beat?
That one.
Just one last time?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so Ethan Bear entered the player assistance program. He signed, he was like a free agent, right? Because he came back from injury and then he signed as a free agent with the Washington Capitals. He was scratched a couple games. He was scratched against the Kraken, in fact. I actually spoke to him in the press box briefly. So it was just a couple weeks ago. But yeah.
That's.
You never know what that's about.
Always rooting for
Big Ethan Bear fans, certainly, and mostly because of he had a strong connection with Andy, and Andy is a big
really
fan.
High.
Spoke yeah. exactly. Yeah. Loved Ethan Bear. He was such a huge fan of his. So, rooting for him. I hope that whatever's going on there, he gets the help that he needs. Our final weekly one-timer, Jaromir Jagr. The bobbleheads. Our national nightmare is over. The Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads have been recovered.
So I'm reading from an article directly.
Okay.
It says, the Penguins were notified last week that a special cargo recovery team negotiated the return of the stolen property to a secure warehouse located in Ontario, California. End of sentence.
What?
It sounds pretty weird. It sounds really weird.
It's...
It sounds like it was a hostage return situation. I don't know.
Did anyone else get PR stunt vibes from this?
Yeah, but I think if it was, they could have put themselves in some pretty significant trouble, the Penguins, that is.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was.
Okay. They had that, the reason I wondered about that was because they had that video same day of Jaromir Jagr buckling one of the bobbleheads into a seatbelt and saying, let's go find your friends. And it was really well produced, although it was also only like a 3-second video.
Right.
So they could have certainly theoretically whipped that up in 3 seconds. So that made me think about it. And then it obviously like went totally viral. But did they actually include feds in this? Like the FBI
apparently.
Was involved?
Apparently.
It sounds that way. It sounds that way. I think it's just a situation where the information got out in a very bizarre way and confused people. I don't know. But I presume this is all what it says it is. And the bobbleheads are back now. So
and Thankfully, Jared McCann's were retrieved and recovered with no issue. Not recovered, but they got shipped the way that they were supposed to. They arrived on time. Nobody stole them. Indeed. They were distributed. That's the way it's supposed to go.
One of the better looking bobbleheads, I think.
No deep V, though, like with Adam Larson. No, so Adam Larson's is still my favorite.
Yeah, it's still the reigning champ.
All right, those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with our tweets of the week. Curtis, your tweet of the week.
Okay, so The Drop on ESPN did a bracket, like a Frozen Four-style bracket for the mascots for the various NHL teams. Mm-hmm. Bowie was pitted against Victory Green.
Who sucks.
Remember that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Trash. Trash mascot. Trash guy.
And
Trash guy.
But Bowie was the 6th seed. Victory Green was the 3 seed. Anyway, lo and behold, we discovered this morning after the polling is done, this is a fan vote thing to decide who's the best mascot. Victory Green had moved on. Oh, all right. Well, that was disappointing. Seems like Bowie should not be eliminated in the first round. But then Bowie on Twitter did a little bit of his own research, went back, found the original poll, and it looks like Bowie actually won.
What?
The original poll.
It was rigged?
This is all a setup for this tweet. Bowie, so it's a quote tweet that shows Greg Wyshynski's original tweet with the poll that shows Bowie winning. Bowie says, extremely odd that Wyshynski decided to move on Victory Green. Hmm. Question mark. I don't know. Wish, he's on Bowie's bad list now. Bowie has a new enemy.
So do we know how Victory Green moved on?
Seems like it's probably a mistake, but they're committed now, so.
Well, or Bowie had an earlier result.
Could be. It says final results on the screen, but you never know with Bowie. He's a sneaky troll. Maybe he manipulated some things.
See, and that's how we end up with, I shouldn't make this joke, should I?
Well, if you're having those questions, maybe.
I was going to, I won't do it. All right. And my tweet of the week, John, do you have one?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Just saying, review all the responses to Darren's Sam and Tom.
Oh, I agree. Any one of those could be the tweet of the week.
Those were hilarious.
So I had actually picked one as my tweet of the week. There were several hilarious ones. Bree McD at Mega Chupacabra, who I assume is not a listener, said, I wasn't paying attention during the intermission, but my partner snorted derisively and said, that guy is on his phone the entire time. Today I'll show him this video to see what a boss move this was. And then it's got a George Costanza gif saying ideas like this are genius. So,
that was good. Love it.
That was funny. Among many other very funny ones. So, Allison, she said Darren Zam Brown, which was decent, but I'm afraid to give her too much credit right now because
you're still bitter about this. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
You don't have one? No tweet of the week for you, John?
No, I said,
just go and look at the Okay. Well, that's our show then. Thank you again to Daniel Cliffwalker or something
Cleveland.
Like that. Yep, in Cleveland. Dan in Cleveland for your 5-star review. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers. You'll have the mailbag episode very soon. Leave your you're supposed to do this, John.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we will read it on the next show. We appreciate all of you. Stick taps for Andy. And tune in next week for episode 181.
281.
281. Whatever.
They see me rolling. They hating. Patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 My music's so loud. I'm swanging. They hoping that they gonna catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty.